You're listening to TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio. Time for more of the Bob Woodson Show, What Works and Why, on TalkZone.com.
Our second guest today on the subject of youth violence is Tori Barrett. Tori is a pastor and founder of CLEO, an acronym for Community Family Life Center in Chicago, Illinois. The CLEO Community Center is a nonprofit organization and facility dedicated to strengthening families and providing a safe haven through education, training, support, and fun for the people of all ages in the Washington Park community. Hello, Tori.
Hi, Bob.
Tori, we've all around the nation, we've seen the videotape murder of 16-year-old Darian Albert on YouTube. And once again, the nation's attention is riveted on the explosive issue of youth violence. Unfortunately, the response to Darian's tragic death will be predictable and ineffective. On the hard side, public officials will come together to form task forces. There will be a demand for curfews, more police, stronger and tougher laws, and longer prison sentence for criminal offenders. On the soft side, communities will hold candlelight vigils. Celebrities will be recruited to discourage self-destructive behavior. And a range of scared straight videos will be offered. And finally, there will be pressure for increase in the budgets of traditional social service agencies to expand the social services to at-risk kids. But it seems to me that many of these approaches will fail, particularly scaring kids straight when many of them are watching Grand Theft Auto and are eating ice cream cones at crime scenes. What is your take on what's going on in Chicago, where I believe you lost 47 children violence this year?
That is correct. And I tend to agree with you that many of these solutions or so-called solutions will be ineffective. And I think the reason being is that we're missing the point. The children of today lack leadership. They lack positive male role models in their lives. And so when you talk about things like increasing police security around the school, and when you talk about things like scaring them straight, these things are still not connecting with the children. And so they are not even solutions. They're ideas that people are bringing up to try to address the issue, but they have no proven track record of being successful or changing the environment that's going on. So we need solutions that dictate to the children and that actually, when you're able to connect with the children, that's where we're losing. There's no connection with the children of today. And so you have to get innovative solutions, things that allow you to be with the children on their level, things that they appreciate, things that they're into. And when we try to scare them straight, I think that we're barking up the wrong tree with that type of idea, which is not a solution.
And what you're saying is that children are growing up with parents that have challenges, and they're sort of wandering without content or purpose in their lives. I remember reading one young man in Florida when he was talking about how isolated and lonely and desperate he felt, and he says that it's better to be wanted for murder than not wanted at all.
Right.
Have you encountered kids like this in your travels in Chicago?
We have encountered children like that. They want to belong to something. This young boy who was beat to death, he was one who didn't want to belong to either gang, and that's the reason that they went after him. And so what you find is that when they're in school, the cool thing to do is to be a gang member because they have a sense of belonging. You know, the police department, if you increase patrol, they still can't connect with the children. And so, yeah, they're there. They're showing their presence, but once they leave, you still don't have that connection with the children. And so oftentimes you'll see high school children who drop out, who commit crimes just so they can go to jail and get a hot meal, or in the wintertime where they can have a heated place to lay their head. And so I think the solutions have to be something that we involved with the children, where the kids of the community see that we're engaging on their own level. You just talked about the Grand Theft Auto. You know, if you think about it, a lot of times those children go over each other's houses, play those type of video games because there's a sense of belonging to that. And so with the Clio Center, one of the things that we do is we keep long hours. We don't close the doors at 6 p.m. where many of the social service agencies are closed. We close at 9 p.m. And the reason that we do that is because we want to provide a safe haven, an area where they can come, engage in whatever they want to engage in. It doesn't always have to be structured. Even if they want to sit around and play checkers, chess, or ping pong or something, as long as they're off the streets in a structured environment, it helps a long way.
You know, very seldom do we hear that churches and our church-based efforts engage in the kind of outreach to the population of children that we're just talking about. What is it that motivated you, Tory, to engage in the kind of ministry or outreach that you do?
Well, Bob, my background is in social work, and then out of college, I was a social worker for a little while, but then I went into corporate America, but I always had the calling to come back and do something about the youth, especially in the community where my church is located. I would see children playing in dirt fields and playing football in the middle of the street and trying not to get hit by cars just because they didn't have a place to go. And so we had a building that was next door to the church that wasn't being used for anything. And I started a capital campaign to raise some funds to renovate the building and turn it into a community center. And then halfway through the renovation, my youngest sister became a victim of domestic violence. And so she was murdered by her ex-boyfriend. And when that happened, it really made the idea about the community center, it made it that more important to me. And so we went ahead and we opened up the center. We named it after my sister and her honor, CLEO, which also stands for acronym, meaning keep loving each other. And really the motivating factor behind it was to give the children in the community somewhere they could go where it's not about us, but it's about them. And so all the programs that we offer for free are for free. And we the big thing that we strive on are the basic, simple needs of hot meals and providing love and a loving atmosphere. And so we feed the children two meals a day. And during the evening, we walk them home so that they have a safe passage from the center to their homes. The other thing that we were able to do as well is to talk to some of the drug dealers in the community and some of the gangbangers in the community and let them know, A, we're not afraid because we've been in this community for 41, 42 years. And then, B, we want this to be a safe haven. We want a truce between you all. If you see children coming from school and coming to this center, let's say that this is a area where we won't sell them drugs. This is an area where we won't engage in any type of violent activity because these children are, it's not just a cliche, but these children are actually our future. And we've been able to establish a relationship with those gangbangers and with those drug dealers in our community to say that this is truly a safe haven.
You know, we often hear that a lot of violence and lawlessness occurs on Friday night and Saturday night when kids are looking out to have a good time. And I understand the CLEO Center responds to this. Can you share with our listeners what you all do for teenagers who are looking for an outlet, some way to enjoy themselves, but in an environment that is protective?
Absolutely. And one of the reasons that we started is because I noticed on Friday evenings when it was time to go home that the children didn't want to go home. They have late curfews, and they just didn't have other areas that they could be in a safe environment. And so I came up with an idea of to do an event on Friday nights called Friday Night Live. And what that entails is it's an open mic that's free to the public, and we also give away prizes to the winner. And so if you sing, rap, dance, poetry, whatever you like to do, we allow you to come on to the stage. We have a DJ. We have a live band. We have a sound system set up. We have lights like you're at the Apollo Theater. And we have a host. And we allow you to come on stage and perfect your craft. And I'll be honest with you, Bob, when I first started it, I thought, you know, that it would be a small thing that I would do on a weekly basis just to give the children a different alternative to come in. But now, when we first started, we had maybe 20, 20 to 25 people coming every week. Now it's grown to over 150, 200 people on a weekly basis that come to enjoy the show. And at the end of the show, we judge it similar to like an Apollo style. So we allow the audience to pick the winner. And so now you have your favorites and different things like that. But the thing that I didn't know was that was going to happen is that the police department started coming around on Friday evenings, because we do a young show from 7 to 9, and then we do a 18 and over from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. And the police department came, and they would watch the children leaving the center and going to their cars. But one day they came over and told me that since we've started our Friday Night Live, that now crime in the community, around the community center, is down. Car theft
wow.
is down. And so they're saying because you're engaging these young people in an activity, then the activity that they would normally be engaged in on a Friday night is no longer in existence.
And excellent.
So it's an excellent thing, and we've been doing it for a year now.
We have been talking about youth violence today with Chicago pastor and youth program activist Tori Barrett. We will return in a moment. I'm Bob Woodson, and you're listening to The Bob Woodson Show, What Works and Why.